Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, thanking you, Lord, for your word that gives us life. Your word instructs us. Your word teaches us. Your word is our life, is our bread, is our food. Lord, we ask for you to minister to us by your Holy Spirit. Teach us your ways. Give us your insights, your thoughts, and your wisdom. We need that which comes from you, Lord. So guide us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're talking about dangers to your walk with God. And we're going to really get expanded here on, and our minds are going to be expanded about the flesh, some things that I've learned by the Holy Spirit, and I thank the Lord that he continues to teach us. But one of the dangers, not taking control of the flesh. There are two realities in this world. What is real to man? And on this earth, and what is real to our Father in heaven. Nature is real. After all, God created it, but the spiritual is real because it was the spiritual that created the natural. We see in the Genesis account of creation that God, who is invisible or spiritual, created all of nature from trees and plants to animals and the fish in the waters, the birds in the sky. But many times we fail to see the aspect of the spiritual bringing into existence the creation. We take it for granted sometimes. Yeah, God created the heaven and the earth, you know. But the ramifications, what had to take place for that to happen is awesome. When you think about it, something from nothing. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the complexity, was watching the 700 Club last night, and this lady had three brain tumors. And so they were showing the MRI of the brain, but the complexity of the brain, just that.
In itself, there's no specialist.
You know, and how God created every aspect of that. I'm going, whoa. Genesis 1:20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that has life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, or the waters and the seas. Let the fowl multiply in the earth, and let the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, the beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, if you look at this, the focal point here is God spoke, and it was. In this portion here, God did not make little Play-Doh figures and make them alive. You know, he spoke, and it was. Out of the mind of God, all of the different kinds of fish, the animals, all he did was speak, and all the different types were created. It wasn't just like one horse, you know, and then it became a zebra, and then it became a Mustang, you know. You know, Think about it. All the birds, the different types of birds, all the different types of animals, God spoke. He didn't say, let there be, you know, this kind of animal and that kind of animal.
He just said it.
Out of his mind. And he spoke and it was. In all these acts, we see that God spoke and it was, or said and it was so. There is a creative force unleashed when God speaks. That's why the word in Isaiah 55, it says that, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will prosper where I send it, and it will not return void. Now, with the creation of man, things were different. And so this is taken from the Targum Onkelos, which is the Old Testament in Aramaic. Genesis 2:7. Look closely at what it says. First, let's look at Genesis in our regular King James or whatever we have here. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But listen to what it says in the Aramaic or the Hebrew language. And the Lord God created Adam from the dust on the ground and breathed upon his face the breath of lives. And it became in Adam a discoursing spirit.
What's the difference between the Aramaic and the King James one?
Well, the King James is English, is like was translated into English, okay? Mm-hmm. Where this is translated right from the Aramaic, first, second century Hebrew language. See, real quick, there was a time where, like during the time of Jesus, Hebrew wasn't spoken so much anymore. Mm-hmm. Because the Grecian Empire, if you did commerce, you know, like our New Testament is written in Greek, because that was the common language for business, for commerce. And so this man here, Onkelos, was passionate about the word of God. And Jesus spoke Aramaic. That was the common Hebrew language at that time. And he's seen the way things were going and that soon the Hebrew language would be lost, the pureness of it. So he decided to translate into Aramaic to preserve it. And so this is about as pure, outside of looking at the actual Hebrew and, you know, reading, you know, the Hebrew words and everything, this is about as pure as you can get. But it says he breathed upon his face the breath of lives. Interesting. And it became in Adam a discoursing spirit. Do you know what discourse means?
No.
The ability to communicate.
That's what it means?
Huh. Discourse.
I thought it meant like negative
communication. Yeah, me too.
To have a discourse.
Discussion.
Discussion. To discuss. Okay? It became in Adam. What? And the breath of lives became in Adam a discoursing spirit. Now, if God breathed into Adam the breath of lives, then Adam became the breather of lives. Think about it. Now, so when we talk about lives, okay, it's plural.
More than one.
So what that indicates to us, and the beauty about the Hebrew language is poetic. Adam was created. Was he created to die?
No.
Mm-mm. So the plural indicates ongoing. Mm-hmm. Now, and I'll show you how this, I'll show this to you. Okay. If God breathed into Adam the breath of lives, and Adam became a breather of lives, thus fulfilling the scripture in Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image. What image is that? After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So what would the image of God indicate? The likeness. What would that be? Let us make them after our likeness.
What does he mean by let us? Who is he saying us? Who is us?
Well, if you look at in the beginning, if you have your e-sword and you look up God said, whoops, I can't touch that or stop it. The word is Elohim.
Oh, it sounds like my name.
And Elohim is plural. Okay, we know that there is a Trinity. Okay, we know that there is also, when you look in Psalms, there is also a heavenly council. So Elohim, and then after in Genesis chapter 2, then it changes to the Lord, to Jehovah. It doesn't use Elohim anymore. You pull up your Strong's.
Yeah, I have it to that verse where it says, let us make. So yeah. It's bringing up H6213. It's not bringing Elohim. It's bringing Ashon.
You sick, Ian?
And this is what it's bringing
He's
up.
He's sick.
No, I have a cold.
Yeah.
If that means
that means sick.
But I don't have an infection, so.
Okay, let me go back.
How's
here.
All my mucus is there.
Hope you get better.
Thanks. It's getting better as it takes.
Drink a lot of orange juice.
You pressed the wrong one. It's 4:30.
So, when it refers to like us, does that mean God's like more than one entity?
Well, that's what we're discussing right now. Is God is plural? Is a plurality? Mm-hmm. The Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is also scripture that if you want to become a real deep studier, that indicates that there is also a council in heaven.
That's because, did you see the... God is Elohim. Let us is Asha.
Mm-hmm. It was us that we were stuck on. The
us. Okay. God. In the beginning, God. Mm-hmm. And it's Elohim, which is plural.
I kind of like that, maybe.
So that's a given that when it got down to they're having a conversation, let us.
Okay.
Because in the beginning, it was in God, the council said. God said. And there are some teachings that say God willed it. Mm-hmm. Jesus was the speaking, because there's scripture to tell us that everything was created by Jesus. John chapter 1. Nothing was created without him, because he was the word, the logos.
Yeah, the life, the bread.
The logos, the sayings, the speakings of God, Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's several scriptures that say he created all things. So, you know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, so they're one. They're united. They're one in thought. They're one in purpose. They're one in spirit. But we don't end there.
Here we see the spiritual breathing into the natural, which has produced a different kind of species. The animals did not have the breath of life in them. They just had life. But when God breathed into the natural, it produced a different kind of species. Man was different than everybody. Now we must understand Adam and Eve were created to be eternal. They had the breath of lives in them. It is here that man has become alive and giving a spiritual nature. Okay? He had the breath of lives in him. That meant that he was like, or he was God-like in nature. And that's what God said, let us make man in our image. Mm-hmm. And he did, right? And as God was alive, Adam was a spiritually alive man who was to take dominion over the natural creation. All that was natural, Adam was to have dominion over. We could say that Adam was to have dominion over all flesh. Now, let's understand what God meant when he said to Adam, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Now, Adam, they had no comprehension of death. Nothing died. Mm-hmm. So what did that mean? Huh? Nobody. Nothing died. It was total perfection. There was no death. Huh?
What did like carnivore?
Ah.
I was just thinking of that.
In fact, okay, let's do a quick little segue. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1.
What happened to that paper?
It's just old and ripped and tore. Okay. And I was just reading it. Now, God said, let me see if it's in chapter 2. There were no carnivores at that time. Okay, here we are. 1:29. And God said, behold, I have given unto you every herb-bearing seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be meat. And to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So there were no carnivores.
They're vegetarian.
Oh. Some of the biggest dinosaurs were vegetarian.
So they wouldn't have eaten us.
Huh? No. After the fall, after the flood, it changed. Okay. Yeah.
So dinosaurs were real.
Oh yeah, but that was before. But that was before Adam and Eve. There was another world.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's in for another time.
But the Lord still was a lot. Was gracious.
Now, yes, okay. Now, let's understand what God meant when he said to Adam, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Here is in the King James, but the tree of life, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, here is the translation, this is the literal translation, and basically this is taken word for word, the definitions from the Hebrew. It says, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, dying, you shall die.
Mm-hmm.
So he went from immortal to immortality.
Yep. The dying, he was given the breath of lives, but if he disobeyed, he would be moving into a dying. But we know that they didn't die. Wasn't a physical death, but it was a physical, a spiritual death that eventually brought in a physical death. Yes. So, we know that Adam and Eve did not die, and this is real interesting. All the parallels, everything is there, and this is going to make such perfect sense. We know that Adam and Eve did not die physically after they ate of the forbidden fruit. So what died? It was a spiritual death. That meant separation. Spiritual death always means separation. Death means separation. If you die, you're separated from this world. Mm-hmm. If you spiritually die, you're separated from life, the giver of life. And we'll show how that is brought out in the scriptures. Eden was the meeting place where God would come and converse with Adam. After the fall of Adam and Eve, they were separated from that place of communion with God. They became separated spiritually and physically. If you remember, they were driven out of the garden. Mm-hmm. So not only was there a separation spiritually, but that garden represented, that was a garden of God. That was the meeting place with God, where God would come and talk to them. And God kicked them out of there. They became separated, both physically and spiritually. And that separation and fallen nature was passed on to all mankind. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And then Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many were made righteous." Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Adam, now, we're studying about dangers to your walk with God, and the danger is not taking control of the flesh. I'm going to close here in just a minute. We're not going to get through all this. Adam was instructed to be in control of all flesh. God told him, take dominion over everything. That means he was to have authority over it. He was to take control of it.
Including Eve?
Yeah. In fact, a quick side note, if you, an interesting thing for study, when Exodus or Genesis 3, when God says to Adam, "What did you do?" And he said, "Well, the serpent, or the woman that you gave me, she gave me to eat." And he went to the woman and said, "What did you do?" "Well, the serpent beguiled me." Well, listen to what God said unto the woman when he was meting out the punishments. Unto the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." But what that really, if you read the actual text, it says you will try to control your husband, but he'll rule over you.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, that's what the actual Hebrew text says.
What was the punishment for man?
He says, "And unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth into thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So a hard life when nothing works out good.
Yeah. Real quick, so on that scripture where it says your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you,
mm-hmm.
that desire for your husband, is that like to control your husband?
Yes.
Or for like a desire to be united?
Desire to control your husband.
Oh, okay.
Now, okay, I'm going to close here. Adam was instructed to control all flesh. It was his individual responsibility, right? Nobody else was there. There was no second to Adam, or it was his responsibility. There was no one else that these instructions were given to. Now, in the same token, we as Christians are given the same responsibility. Interesting. Sin has caused us to be separated from God. Correct? Yes. Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned in Christ." And then in Colossians it said, "And you who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now he hath reconciled." So we're going to end there. Sin alienates. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. They were separated. They were driven out. In fact, if you continue to read that, when God, when he kicked them out of Eden, he put a cherub in the way, in the entrance, so that they couldn't get back in.
Cherub.
Huh?
What's a cherub?
A cherub. Look at Genesis 3:24. Actually, start at 20:22. "And the Lord God said, Behold, man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and also eat of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden a cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life."
Angelic beings.
Yep. So next week, this is probably going to take about 3 or 4 weeks to get through all this, because I got more pages. We'll go into the parallel of how Adam was to control all flesh and how we're to control the flesh. And a lot of scriptural parallels. So let's pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, continue to minister into our inner man your thoughts, your goodness, your mercy, and your power. We need you, Lord, and we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.